We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody.
What up, what up, what up?
My name is Tim Daniel. His name is Ben Brown. And welcome to this week's edition of Late Night Reds, brought to you by the Riverfront Media Network, an affiliate of Blue Wire Podcast Network, where we are excited to be talking about our fantastic Cincinnati Reds coming off a sweep of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, California, Southeast, 4th Street, Los Angeles, California, 18743.
The Fighting Trouts.
Yes. I don't know. The world's longest name for a baseball team of all time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But hey, before we get to that, of course, got to do a little housework here. If you're just checking us out for the first time and seeing us here on your watches on YouTube or Twitter or X, whatever it's called now. Well, if you're on X, make sure you give us a follow. If you're on YouTube, make sure you give us a nice solid subscription so we can kind of keep up this work there. And if you're listening to us on an app of your podcast app of choice, please make sure you give us a nice solid subscription, and a review would not hurt either. But this also would not be possible without our wonderful friends at patreon.com/RiverfrontCincy, where for just a couple bucks a month, you can hang out with me and Ben and Chad and Nate and Joe and Seth and Parker and all of us all day, every day, just whenever you want.
Guys,
send us a message. Yeah. And we are there like swimwear. So obviously a fun weekend against the Angels. Let's go ahead and touch on the games real quick. So let's start with Friday. I was in attendance Friday, which was a lot of fun. A 7-1 victory. Nick Lodolo goes 6 1/3 and is really, really good.
Gosh, filthy. Dang, filthy, filthy stuff. Just filthy.
Yeah. Eli De La Cruz has 3 stolen bases and goes Oppo Taco for a homer. Tyler Stevenson puts one in the bleachers at GABP. So that was a lot of fun. Nice 7-1 victory. A 5-run, eighth inning to put it away. Seventh or eighth, one of the two. I can't remember.
I think seventh, I think. Yeah.
If only we had things in our access so we could just look at our phones real quick and just kind of look at this, right? Oh, yeah, if only. But that was a lot of fun. So Saturday comes around, and we have a nice, solid fun where Tyler Stevenson decides Friday wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hit a grand salami. It was the eighth.
Yes.
by the way, on Friday.
Yeah, yes, it was. Yep.
Yeah. Puts like grand slam up there. They're down 2-0 the first inning. They put up a 5 spot. So we're gonna do a little bit of a deeper dive into Tyler Stevenson a little later in the episode, as you can see with the title. Spencer Steer goes 3-for-4. Ellie, 4 walks, which we're going to talk about that too, because that's kind of important. And then Nick Martinez going 3 innings in relief was great. Was absolutely awesome. Might have to start in Texas on Friday. So we're going to talk about that as well, which leads into today. 3-0 win, just an unbelievable performance by the bullpen. Frankie Montas leaves after 2 outs with the comebacker. Sounds like they dodged a bullet. From everything the reports say, it looks like it's just a bruise, no fracture. Yeah. So thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
I got,
what up? What's good, Pat?
Pat's here saying hi. Sydney's here telling us let's go.
Hey, what's up, Sid?
Sydney was at the game Friday and we did not see each other. So that's a disappointment. We'll make sure we make up for that at the next game. Yeah, dude, bullpen, 8 1/3 scoreless today. The offense, Anaheim pitched really well, but the offense has 2 really huge moments from 2 guys that you've been waiting to see those from. So you get that Christian Encarnacion Strand 0-2 count, puts a ball in the gap to score 2 runs. And then Jaime Candelario gets a really nice hit. Just hit the ball pretty well this week, even with the, well, when he was playing without the flu. And, puts the flag down, puts the stamp down on that one. So the Reds are have now swept the White Sox, been swept by the Mariners, and then swept the Angels. So I would like to break this before the Phillies come to town, who are super hot right now, by the way, are really, they just played the White Sox too. All right. Let's be 100 here. But before that, even, have won 11 of their last 14, or 14 and 8, have won 6 in a row. So, Sydney, I was in the upper deck. I was in 509. Upper deck selling beer. No, shoot Tim attack. Maybe Tim wanted a beer.
I mean, how about your boy? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I did enjoy a Kona Big Wave at the ballpark Friday night. That's my new fave. Big fan.
Kona Big Wave. Haven't heard of that one.
Dude, pretty solid.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right, man. Let's real quick, because we're going to talk about a few different things that came out this year, individually player-wise. But let's go team-wise. What do you take away from this weekend with this big, a really nice bounce back? Friday was such a, satisfying win.
Mm-hmm.
Just a much-needed after the Seattle series. Mm-hmm. Everyone was kind of had their heads down. The fan base was kind of really upset because, Lucas Sims on Thursday really was not good. Wednesday was really not good. And then Tuesday, they just had to get away from Julio Rodriguez's defense, apparently, because all those nice things I said about him on the show last week, and he was like, yeah, Tim, you're right. And I was like, why did I have to be right here? Couldn't I have been right about the Reds portion of things? But they bounce back. They get a huge sweep of the Mariners, of the Angels, and keep Mike Trout from doing any damage.
Yeah, absolutely. My biggest takeaway from this weekend is our bullpen pitched well. Our bullpen was phenomenal. And we asked multiple guys to go out multiple times and put together solid innings. And they did. Our bullpen pitched well. We had timely hitting. It was just really good to see us kind of get back in that groove a little bit. As far as getting some timely hits, I was a little bit concerned today. Sid.
It was right there. Ba 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 ba.
I was a little bit concerned today because we were getting up through 5. It was pretty a bit concerned. Yeah.
I think we had the network connectivity.
Other than that, it was good bounce after sweat. Seattle. It was great to come back at. Did I lose you?
You froze for a second. I think I got you back.
Okay. All right.
There we go. All right.
But no, it was really good to have that bounce back. after getting swept in Seattle, like you said. it was timely hitting. Bullpen was phenomenal. Is it all repeating itself?
I mean, it's all good.
Everything
whoever listens
good.
To this
it,
later
it was a good,
will
it was
be
a good bounce back series.
Yeah, absolutely. Really good bounce back series. Much needed. Friday was fun. I thought the ballpark, even though the attendance wasn't the highest of the weekend, I thought the ballpark was great. I thought the atmosphere was incredible. The fans were really into the game. It was a blast, man. And so I'm excited that we're going to get in those. Obviously, getting that 12-9 mark is huge. Let's just talk about a couple of things from the weekend. So obviously, you know, this leads really well into the Tyler Stevenson bomb on Friday that breaks a 1-1 tie. And then yesterday, the grand slam that he goes opposite field, which was like really impressive. The fact that he had that hand speed to kind of pull that off and that power.
Yeah.
But right now, he has been kind of, we touched on it for a second last week. We didn't get really a deep dive, but this is a guy who has had a lot of bad luck. As far as like he's hitting the ball really hard and he's just right at people. And so the kind of get the trouble to fall was really nice. This is right now his baseball savant page for hitting. So he's in the 87th percentile for expected weighted on base average. His slugging is in the 87th percentile. His barrel percentage is 100 is in the 100 percentile. His hard hit was 95%. And so, you know, when you're swinging the bat like that, something's bound to happen. And the defense has certainly been better. It's definitely improving as far as him calling games behind the plate. Today he got the DH. Local Luke was behind the plate. But, dude, like, this was a theme of the year, right? This was something we talked about a lot from October to April. They need him. And I think that, obviously, there was a lot of concern the first couple of weeks. He wasn't really hitting the ball really well, and now he's been hitting the ball really hard. And now it's starting to fall. I know he didn't have the best game today, but this is the guy we believed in. This is what we wanted to see. You can't be mad when someone just snags the ball out of the infield on the air from him. But, dude, like, just the way he's hitting the ball, the way he's tapped in, I think we're going to see those numbers go up even higher in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, good things happen when you barrel the baseball. You know what I mean? So he's been able to get the barrel to the ball a lot. So when you're able to do that, you're going to be able to find holes. So, or hit the ball out like he did this weekend twice. So, it's a process. We always talk about baseball is hard. But, you know, when you're able to have that high of a barrel percentage, good things are going to happen. You're not going to hit the other person's glove all the time. So, you just have to be consistent in that. And that's what we're seeing now, right? We're seeing him consistently come up and have decent at bats and get good contact on baseballs, which is going to lead to good things. So this is the guy that we wanted, right? Like, this is the guy we expected coming off of injuries, coming off a lot of the disappointment. This is the Tyler Stevenson that we wanted and that the Reds need to be productive in the bottom half of that lineup and also behind the plate. Like you said, defensively, he looks like he's locked in, doing a lot better job calling games, doing a lot better job defensively. So this is the Tyler Stevenson that puts you in the spot of being a playoff contender.
Yeah, man. I thought that I wouldn't say like he's world renowned behind the mound. I wouldn't say he's Ivan Rodriguez by any means, but I really have liked the improvement this year. I think he's done a really good job calling games. You can definitely tell the trust factor with his guys has been really nice. So that's been really impressive. Sydney brings this up. He said not having to worry about playing first has helped him focus better and help with success so far. Imagine if we could have said that about Nick Senzel, if he was like, well, I didn't have to play 17 positions and I could just do my thing. By the way, Nick Senzel
hit a bomb today.
Hit a homer today.
He did.
Yeah. To which I got a response on the late night Reds Twitter account with a bunch of people that are like, well, he's going to get hurt rounding the bases, or, you know, he'll be on the IL next week. It's like, can you just enjoy one damn moment, right? Like, let me have this, all right? I didn't get a lot of these in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, come on, guys. Let it ride, man.
Yeah. Plus, like, J.C. Winker's, like, having a season of a lifetime right now for the Nationals. Have you seen his numbers?
I have not.
Dude, he's, like, second in the league in batting average.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
Yeah. I guess it was just getting away. I mean, the Seattle thing was like a mess.
That was a disaster. Yeah, it was a disaster for sure.
I barely remember him playing for the Brewers. I know he did, obviously, but I barely remember anything from
it. Yeah.
And so
that was like a blink of an eye. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So what is he doing so far in Washington's been really nice, which I'm happy to see for him. I genuinely really liked him when he was here.
Yeah. Yeah. Good dude.
Obviously went to an all-star game here. Started an all-star game at that. Mm-hmm. So, but that's not why you guys are here for us to talk about Jesse Winker. But I'll just kind of echo what you just kind of said about Stevenson. I think that what we're seeing there, like I said, he's not going to hit the glove all the time. Like Sydney said, not having to focus on playing first base helps a lot. You remember in 21, 22, when every conversation about him, I couldn't even take it anymore. It was like every question we got about him was like, should he just quit catching and play first base? And I was like, do you understand with how he hits, how much more money he's going to make as a catcher than a first baseman?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And we talked about this before. The catching position isn't one where there's a whole lot of elite guys.
Right.
So if you are halfway decent, if you can bat anywhere from 260 to 285 batting average and hit anywhere from 18 to 24 home runs and drive in anywhere from 70 to 90 runs a year, that's a pretty good statistical year for a catcher. So, they're not going to pay a first baseman to do that a whole lot of money. But catching, that's elite status right there.
Yeah, I mean, who's doing that right now? Like Gabriel Moreno?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, William Contreras. It's not.
I mean, the list is very small.
Yeah. When Seattle brings Harry Ford up, it's probably going to be a different conversation. But
yeah, right.
We're a little bit away from that.
We got some time.
Yeah, man. I think the other thing I want to point out too is hitting opposite field, which we're going to talk about that with Ellie here in a second as well, just how much that helps a lot. Obviously, from the school of Joey Votto, where that was his specialty, until he decided to just like hit bombs all the time, which was very fun. I'm not ever going to take away from it. It was a blast. Those last 3 years where it's just like, I'm just going to go up there and just swing as hard as I can and see what I run into. But I think that with him kind of figuring that out, like that grand slam yesterday, the hand speed was so freaking impressive to get around on that and put it over the wall. And I know that was more of a line drive homer, where obviously his homer Friday that he pulled into left field was pretty close to the scoreboard. Yeah. But it's just such a nice thing to see. And I think for him, for Ellie, I mean, Spencer Steer's obviously done that already for most of his time and most of the time in the big leagues. This is pretty awesome. I should have got the spray charts because that LED LaCruz spray chart's very fun. I think then this is just a segment every week. We're going to call this segment, Ellie is awesome. So
yeah, I'm down with it.
Yeah. This week in Ellie is awesome. Two homers, six RBI.
I like five the picture walks, with all the chains.
Yeah. Three stolen bases. So when I was Googling, I was trying to find pictures of him in the City Connect because that's where he had the home run Friday. But you know me, I can't. So it was all from last year in the Under Armour cleats. And we're not posting Under Armour on Late Night Reds, okay? Yeah, like we're not giving them love. So we can't be having that.
Yeah, not doing it.
Dude, all right. So there is a lot to get to here in the Ellie De La Cruz crowd. So obviously the homer in Seattle, I know they lose that game, but that was awesome. The fact that, like, I know he got thrown out at third by Julio Rodriguez on Tuesday, but I love that he challenged him and said, like, you have to make the best play possible to get me. And he did. Give him kudos. He did. So I really like that, obviously. But Friday, dude, oh my gosh. The way that he creates runs, I don't know if it's been seen before. I can't think of anyone else. Like, so he, first off, we've talked all this whole time since he's been in the majors about just like, should he still switch hit? And he gets a single at the middle against a left-handed pitcher, steals second, forces a throwing error when he steals third. So just like walks into home plate. That was awesome. The home run in the eighth inning where it just goes opposite field and just like, no doubter, just knew it as soon as he left his bat, was awesome. Saturday is what I want to talk about. four walks, one of those with the bases loaded on a 4-0 count. So obviously we don't do intentional walks anymore. We just do the whole like, and he goes to the base thing. But he is literally at the point now where people are afraid to pitch to him. There is like fear when he steps in the bag. Like, and you can say what you want about like, I just don't want him to hurt me. Like, yeah, dude, bases were loaded yesterday. And someone was still like, I'm not giving him a chance. Like, I will eat this one run instead of him putting four on the board. I mean, funny enough, Friday,
yeah.
If we don't have that wild pitch and Spencer Steer scores, it's a grand slam. But dude, just like this thing now, we're like, I wouldn't say it's the Bonds treatment, but right. I don't know really how else to put it.
I can't say it's, I mean, it's Bonds-esque, but I wouldn't say it's full out Bonds, but yeah, dude, it's a special thing. Like to watch his, and I was looking at some of the stuff today on Twitter, X, whatever we call it. Not only is he doing that, but his strikeout rate or pitch take rate is lower now than the league average. So not only is he hitting the ball hard, not only is he getting on base, not only is he stealing bases, he's swinging at less bad pitches, which leads to four walk baseball games. So what are you going to do with this guy if he's not swinging at bad pitches, can walk, and can hit bombs? Like what he's able to do to generate runs, what he's able to do all these different things, man, is just incredible. And it's crazy that it's started this early in the season. Like,
yeah, dude.
For people to look at him and be like, yeah, dude, I'm not pitching to you. I'm just going to go ahead and walk this. Like for people to do that now, this early in the season, is.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
So, yes, are you trying to say he's developing? I thought so in the chat, on the Slack chat this week, Skylar Webster brought up a really, really awesome point that I wanted to bring up, that I think people are still looking at old film in the sense that there's like, you can tell like they're scared to pitch to him or they're daring mm-hmm. him to chase and he's like not chasing anymore. Mm-hmm. Even right-handed, you can see him more comfortable in the box. And obviously he's definitely better as a left-handed hitter. But you are starting to see that growth there. And I think that was just, that's been like really fascinating in this whole, to use Sydney's word, development. I have no issue talking an hour just about how great Ellie De La Cruz is.
Mm-hmm.
There's one point in the game. So I went Friday with Sean Mackey, who was part of the Riverfront team. NBA Friday with me and Parker Fields. And I kind of looked at him for a second. This is before the home run. And I'm like, can you believe this guy plays on our favorite team? And then it's that bomb. And Reds fan Brandon on Base Machine on X, one of my favorite followers on social media. I've hyped him up quite a few times on the show. Put the same thing out there. He's like, can you believe Ellie De La Cruz plays for your favorite team? The only time I've really ever felt that way is this, like, is Ellie De La Cruz and, like, Joe Burrow. Those are the only times I've ever been like, oh, my God, yeah. Those guys play for my favorite team. Like, yeah. That's insane. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to say, too, I know that he was kind of the start of the play on Friday. There was this really cool defensive play where he fields the ball in the hole at shortstop, tries to get Rendon at first, and kind of throws the ball a little off balance. Steer gets the throw. Joe Adell tries to score on the throw. Mm-hmm. And Steer has his heads up play to hit Stevenson at the plate and get him. And that was just like really, really cool. Like it just kind of was one of those nights at the ballpark, yeah. Man. And like just kind of things like that. Dude, it's just watching him now. And look, we're having this conversation about him. He struck out once today. No mm-hmm. one remembers it. Mm-mm. No one remembers it. No one's talking about it. That double he had late in the game, that pitch was pretty high up in the strike zone, and he still managed to get a hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's going to play at this. He's obviously not going to be this hot forever. Like it's going to be part of the thing. But is this who he's going to be? I feel pretty comfortable in saying yes. Like this is what we have to look forward to.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, you say that he's hot. I think that he's comfortable.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
I think this is him. You know what I mean? I think he's comfortable at the plate. I think he's comfortable with who he is. I think he's comfortable with being here and the days he's playing. But like any other 22-year-old kid who was ridiculed about making errors in the field and striking out, and any other 22-year-old kid would have sunk their head, hid, would have tried to do everything possible to not take responsibility. He has stepped up. He has matured. And you can see it in his at-bats. He is taking better at-bats. He's taking better swings. He's taking better pitches. He's putting better contact on the ball. You can see his maturity, not only just on the baseball field, but in everything that he's done after all the ridicule, the hate, everybody else saying that, oh, he should be in the minor leagues, but like all the other bull crap that people have said. He's taken all that and continue to work and continue to get better. And those same people that were telling him that he needed to be in the minor leagues are now like, oh my God, it's Ellie. He's off. Like, so he's got a lot of growth still to go, but I think he's comfortable, man. I think this is where he's at. This is his groove. This is the guy that you're going to see, you know, hopefully for the next 10 years in a Reds uniform.
I think my favorite thing about him, and don't get me wrong, the home runs and the stolen bases are awesome. Mm-hmm. They're a blast. My favorite thing is when he gets when a ball hits the ground, how scared the defense is. So they just rush. So like he hits a ground ball to shortstop, and it's like he can hit like one like a freaking really hard rope, and you can see the shortstop like really quick trying to get the ball out. Or like today, you'll see oftentimes where like the infielder tries to field it and kind of bounce off their glove just because they're trying to rush to make sure like he doesn't do damage. But it's even more fun in the outfield, but it's just like a little blooper. And you can see the center fielder trying to make sure he doesn't get second base.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's just insane that there's one guy, this 22-year-old switch-hitting shortstop who is all of 6'5 and maybe 170 pounds. I'm sure it says he's heavier than that on his baseball card, but I'll believe it when I see it. God, what's it going to be like when he puts muscle on?
I know. That's insane. Like, yeah. I'll say this, like, and to your point, most shortstops have a rhythm when they catch the ball and knowing how long they've got to get over the first. But like you said, with Ellie, like you can't take your little crow hop rhythm throw. Like it's you got to get it out quick, or he's gonna be safe. Like he makes ground balls into not routine plays every day.
So Memorial Day weekend, the Dodgers come to town.
Mm.
The battle of the National League shortstops, head to head. What's it gonna be like when he hits at Mookie and Mookie has to like be Mookie to get him out?
Oh, that'll be fun.
I am gonna make sure I go to at least two of those games.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I have to make those. Dude, they're serious. Like May is not easy. We've talked about this a little bit, but a lot of fun teams. So the Orioles come to town the first weekend, the Diamondbacks right after that. They go on the West Coast road trip for the Giants, the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers for four. And then they come home for the Padres, the Dodgers, and the Cardinals, which I don't know if you've looked at the scoreboards of late, but things are not going too well in St. Louis.
Yeah, things are a little down in St. Louis right now.
You know, they're you hate to see down. It. It's really a shame.
You do. I mean, you really do.
Yeah.
I mean,
by the way, the Pittsburgh Pirates already coming back down to earth. Six in a row they've lost.
I mean, did you expect anything else?
This is just for all those freaking people who were just like, this is a new thing. They're going to be great. Here we go.
Nah.
Tale as old as time. Song as old as Ryan. Pittsburgh in fourth place. Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Kudos.
Two of their last 10, six in a row. They played the Red Sox this weekend, who I don't know if people have been paying attention, but the Red Sox starting pitching is insane. It's the only reason they have 13 wins right now. But that's not why you're here to talk. So, yeah, dude, I'm sure every week we'll have a new Elias awesome moment. Even if he has like an over six game stretch, we're still going to find one. I think at one point this week his batting average last seven games was like .220, but his on base was like .475. Unbelievable.
Which all right, makes him dangerous.
Very dangerous. So these next portions here, these next two parts of the show, I wanted to kind of do. And I just want to kind of give some shouts to a couple guys on the team who have really kind of been very helpful and useful and for totally different reasons. And I want to start with the local guy, everyone's new favorite reliever, Brent Suter. So obviously today, Frankie gets hurt. He comes in, hasn't warmed up, is terrific, is incredible. And it's the second time this year he's had to do that because when Antone got hurt, he was the guy that got called upon. And this is like, obviously we're always going to root for the Cincinnati kid playing for the Reds. Don't get me wrong. But he is the most easy guy to root for in the world. Like, he seems like he's like super fun. I listened to him on Jim Day this week and he was talking about when Antone got hurt, he was in the game pitching when he came in. So Antone's in the doctor's office. For the first inning that he throws. He throws three innings that day against the Mets. Goes out for the second inning. Goes back to the clubhouse after he's done throwing the inning. And finds TJ Antone while he's actively in the game. He has not been, like, pulled. To, like, make sure he gives him a hug and says, like, hey, dude, we got everything. Anything you need, we got you. We're here for you. We love you.
That's pretty dope.
Incredible, right? So that's just, like, hey, you're, like, a great teammate stuff. Let's look at his numbers, because his numbers, he's had one outing this year where he was not very good. And that was that Phillies game. Bob brings up the point. He's the only opponent to ever be on Jim Day's pod.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool. All right. So Brent Suter this year, nine outings, 2.3 ERA, 15 2/3 innings pitched. 12 strikeouts, 1.15 whip. Dude, like, I said that I thought he might be the best signing of the offseason. And I knew, like, people would have some people they would debate on that, obviously. But so far, he has been the best signing that they've had this from the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, he has. I mean, he's come in some big moments and has done exactly what you pay him to do, right? Get outs, stretch innings, stretch games. Come in and be a long reliever, be crafty, get guys out. And his stuff, here's the thing, his stuff isn't overpowering. It's nothing that he's where he's throwing 99 mile per hour fastballs. He's just crafty, dude. Like he gets into the game and he knows exactly where to put pitches to get guys out. I mean, it's very rare to see him make a mistake pitch. Like, if you watch his outings, you could probably count on one hand outside of that Phillies outing. You probably count on one hand where
he can make the case that game was his defense letting him down.
Yeah, and that too. But you can count on one hand probably when he's made a mistake pitch. And even in those mistake pitches, they haven't been like home runs. They've been singles or a double or whatever. So he's come in and done exactly what you've asked him to do. He's giving you long relief. He's giving you that crafty lefty, especially now that you know that we don't know when we're going to get Sam Wall back. He gives you that guy who can come in and eat innings, and do those things as far as getting you long stretches of innings to where you don't have to eat up a whole bunch of guys in your bullpen. I mean, what do you go 3 innings again today?
3 1/3.
Yeah, 3 1/3. Almost 4 innings of work. It's just, you know, those are the things that you value from him being a signing in the offseason that, like you said, Tim, wasn't a guy that was really a high name. Like, baseball guys knew that he was a great signing, yeah, but the average person would have been like, oh, okay, cool, we signed another left-hand guy, blah, blah, blah. But I can remember us talking on the pod like, dude, that's a sneaky signing. I like that signing a lot.
Yeah.
And he's been that. I mean, he has been phenomenal. And he's, like I said, he's come in and done the job on those. Every time he's came in, he's done work. So it's been cool to see. And he's a local dude.
Yeah, that obviously helps. So I think the other thing that's really big for him that really is impressive is they were awesome this weekend, but the bullpen, by and large, has not been great.
Right.
You know, whatever's going on with Lucas Sims right now. I mean, he was good today, but mm-hmm. it's been really frustrating. Mm-hmm. Emilio Pagan has had moments where he's looked fine, but he's had a lot mm-hmm. of disappointing moments. Alexis Diaz seems like he's finally found his groove. He looks like he's mm-hmm. kind of getting back to his old self, which is nice to see. Mm-hmm. But on Brent Suter's end, it's, you know, between him and Justin Wilson in the lefties right now, because Alex Young and Sam Moeller out. And Justin Wilson has not been great. He's had moments, but so it's been like a lot of like they, you know, really any situation where they need to have to bring him in, it's been all Suter. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, his homerless streak did end in that Philly series. But
yeah,
other than that, I think we could all be really happy. And he's really like, so I don't know if you so listen to the Jim Day pod if you haven't. Mm-hmm. They do this thing where he like does a wheel of impressions, and they're all incredible.
Okay,
he does like Jim Carrey, Harry Carey. He does this thing where he makes fun of Derek Johnson, his pitching coach, for how he talks. It's really funny. It's really good stuff. Like Bob said, so he was the only visiting player to ever be on the pen. I mean, on Jim's Day's pod, but just like an awesome dude. And he made fun of himself for the fact that he had Tommy John, because he's like, I throw like 84. I didn't think I threw hard enough to get Tommy John.
which makes sense. Yeah, you know,
I appreciated.
Like, yeah, touche. But
just an awesome dude. So happy he's on our team and doing big things for us. So this one's a little different. Not something you expect to hear from Tim Daniel by any means, but wanted to show some appreciation for Stuart Fairchild. I know, guys. Hear me out. One, he should never bat third in the order. That should be a stern talking to between the front office and the manager if that mm-hmm. keeps happening, as he has been doing against left-handed pitching. By the way, they have two lefties to start the Philly series. So, because of course they do. but he's had these moments that have been so huge for this team. And I'm not going to sit here and act like he has these great numbers and these wonderful statistics. Obviously, that's not what I'm getting at here. But mm-hmm. the defense has been solid for the most part. Mm-hmm. Friday, to kind of keep that thing going, lays down a huge bunt. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. And then yesterday, he's 0 for 11 when he comes to the plate and starts to rally the lead to the Stevenson Grand Slam. He's the 26th guy, right? Like, he's mm-hmm. that's who he is. Mm-hmm. He's more like, he's at best a 4A player, a guy who can goes up and down, even though he's out of options now. But what he's been able to do for this team in need without all these guys have been on the IL with all the suspensions. Yeah. I thought it would be nice that if we're going to criticize him when he's not doing well, we have to at least be able to give him credit when he's done things to help the team win.
Absolutely. No, 100% true, man. I think that,
Bubba Thompson's definitely the 26th guy. That guy should, we do not criticize Reds players on this show. But they got to figure out that spot.
Yeah. No, I think you hit the nail on the head, Tim. He's not lighting the world on fire. But I tell you what, he came up, like you said, had a great bunt this weekend, started the rally for the Grand Slam. I mean, those are kind of things that you need from your 26th guy, right? Like, you don't need him to be phenomenal. You just need him to be good in spots. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like you got to be good in spots. And some of the spots he's been good in, and you got to give him credit. A guy that doesn't get at bats every day, a guy that doesn't see the field every day, come in and be ready to play is hard to do, you know, because, you know, baseball is a routine game. So if you're not in a routine of playing every day and you have to come in those spots and do those things, you got to give him credit to come in and get in timely hits, timely bunts, has made some good plays in the field. So yeah, I give him his props. It's cool to see a guy come in that doesn't get the recognition of being a top guy come in and do things when you need him to.
Yeah, man. I think that he just, it's like today, even he comes in to play defense when they're trying to put the game away. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, we're talking about a guy right now with a 593 OPS.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're not here to talk about, man, these incredible numbers. But just kind of what he's been able to do in the certain situations. So now that I think about it, I probably would not say he's 26. It's probably an insult with Bubba Thompson, as Sidney mentioned, and Santiago Espinal, who is like – Santiago Espinal is now, I think, in that same trajectory of Jack Hanahan, Wilson Valdez, Cesar Torres, like just these guys are like – remember that short time Tony Womack played for the Reds? Like,
Tim.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think we're at that point. Oh, man. So I won't put Matt Kemp in there because Matt Kemp at least had a serviceable MLB career before his 3 weeks playing for the Major League team. Sidney brings up my guy, Patrick Kevlehan. Shout out Patrick Kevlehan.
Oh, man.
My dude. That's always funny. Always my reference for when people try to criticize Joey Votto. I say that guy was protecting him in the lineup at one point. So
yes, he was.
Yeah. Hey, before we do move on, did you see our pal Drew Stubbs was in town Saturday?
Yeah, I did see that throughout the first pitch. I did see that.
Yeah. So not only did Drew Stubbs throw out the first pitch, which he got dogged on by Andy Sabo during the broadcast Saturday, but got recognition, got some love from the stadium, which
absolutely
we're obviously not biased here because we love Drew and he's been on the show multiple times and is like the nicest guy ever.
Awesome.
But we're just happy to see that for a guy who was criticized a lot in his tenure for Cincinnati, he's got at least getting recognized for the good things he did. So I'm really, really happy for him. And that was awesome to see him get his moment. And looks like he could probably still run a ball down the gap.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You're on a podcast with him, we only see the square. So
yeah. Yeah. He still looks healthy. Like he can get it done.
Yeah. So really happy that Drew got some recognition there. Definitely think he deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
I think unbelievable. Great moments. I was at, like I said, I've talked to him about, I was at Clinchmas when he robbed Carlos Lee the home run in the third inning, which leads to the Jabers walk off. So, dude, we don't do this too often either on the show. And I think this is important.
Mm-hmm.
The Reds have a young up-and-comer in Dayton right now by the name of Cam Collier. So
smashing baseballs.
So for those who don't know, which if you're listening to the show, you obviously know about Cam Collier. 2022 first round pick, dropped in their lap, got him for $5 million. Mm-hmm. His dad is Lou Collier, former big leaguer, who was the first base coach and the 2023 World Baseball Classic team, does hitting workouts in the offseason with Ken Griffey Jr.
Mm.
This is what Cam Collier is doing right now
in
Dayton. 328, 1.033 OPS, 6 home runs, 18 RBI. Ben, he had 6 home runs all year last year in Dayton.
All year, I was going to say. Home runs
now. This is the dude. Right, like we've graduated this McLean De La Cruz CES class, and now we're into the Cam Colliers, the Blake Dunns, the Jacob Hurtubises. I had to make sure I mentioned those guys. All right, I had to make sure I mentioned those guys so I didn't have someone going off on me. Yeah. Dude. So, 2 weeks into the season, 6 bombs already.
Yeah,
probably gonna be in Chattanooga. the next month if things keep going the way they are. I just can't see that they'll, I mean, he's doing great things down there in Dayton. I mean, up there in Dayton, I should say, but the clips are insane. I haven't made it to a Dragons game yet this year.
We need to.
But the clips of these, like the sound the ball makes coming off his bat, it's unbelievable.
It's different. It's definitely different. Like it's
he's 19.
Yeah. I mean, there's something special about that young man. So I mean when he hits a baseball, like it you can like you know how just people have different sounds when they hit. Like his bat just sounds different than everybody else's. So and we've said that. I mean, like with Ellie, we've said that. You know, it's just different. But what he's able to do as a 19-year-old kid playing Major League Baseball, I mean, he's been incredible. I feel like every night I get some clips sent to me like, oh yeah, Cam Collier, bam! You're like, geez, oh, please, dude, he is just smashing baseball. So big up to him, man. I don't know what the progressions are as far as him going, you know, from Dayton to Chattanooga or whatever, but you know, I hope that whatever they do, they let this kid progress the way he's progressing. And if he's in Dayton the whole time, great. You know, it's whatever. I just want to see him have this consistency throughout the year and be able to do it wherever he feels comfortable. So, but it's been a lot of fun to see the last 2 weeks, him swinging the bat and doing what he's been able to do.
Pat says, "I want him in Cincy now." Hey man, you know,
dude, he's legit.
Novi Marte can't be on the playoff roster,
maybe you never know.
Santiago Espinal's on the 40 man, that's like your easy answer, guys. You feeling me, crowd, chat? You feeling this?
Yeah,
Sydney says 19 years old and that double A would be insane.
Listen, if he passes up Jacob Hurt. That would be insane. He passes up Herta Beasy. You know, you're gonna have an issue.
Oh yeah, someone's really gonna be mad at the guy on the left at that point.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh man, it's just awesome to see. Because I mean, I feel like we were so downtrodden after Marte gets suspended, Arroyo gets hurt for the year.
Yeah.
So to have this is something to look forward to, and I know everyone loves. I love Blake Dunn as well, but this dude is just different. Blake Dunn's already in his mid-20s. Cam Collier's 19. So,
yeah.
By the way, Rhett Lauder also plays on that team. He's good. You know, heard of him. He's pretty solid.
Yeah, he's tough.
Yeah. Chattanooga today, by the way, real quick, want to touch on this. Hit 5 homers as a team today.
Did they really?
Yeah. Just tank season.
Jeez, oh, peace.
Tank season.
Gosh dang.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. All right, man. So we gotta look forward now to look at this. We are like 15 minutes under time getting into the last segment. A matchup with the Philadelphia Phillies, the Reds' first repeat opponent of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the Reds went into Philly and took 2 out of 3. That was right before they got hot and got crazy. So this is an interesting, really interesting series now, because like we said to start the show when we mentioned it, the Phillies have been awesome of late. They've been really, really good. I still can't get used to Bryce Harper playing first base. I know I mentioned this the last time they played the Phillies. It's just weird to me. Okay.
It looks weird. I agree with you 100%, dude. It looks odd. It looks odd.
And Bryce Harper's the only reason they won a game against the Reds in that series. So, because he had that 3 home run game. But to just keep trends going, first two pitching matchups of the series, lefties. Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. Ranger Suarez, awesome. Really good at baseball. Going against Hunter Green. Then Christopher Sanchez against Andrew Abbott. Wednesday is fun.
Really fun.
Nick Lodolo versus Spencer Turnbull. Man, imagine if the Tigers had kept Spencer Turnbull with Tariq Skubal with what he's doing right now. Oh, my God. They'd be incredible.
Yeah.
They'd be insane. Shout out the Guardians, by the way. They're freaking awesome. Can't wait to see them come to town here in a couple weeks. And then Thursday, we got Graham Ashcraft against Zach Wheeler. Fun series. real quick. Mm-hmm. Are you worried about Graham Ashcraft? Because it seems like first two rounds through the lineup, he's great. That third round has not been fun.
Yeah. I can't say that I'm worried. I do think that there is a I don't know. I don't even know how to put it. I don't want to say I'm worried because I do think he's very talented. But I do have some concerns as far as him being able to navigate long games. That makes sense. So like you said, he gets through those first, you know, 3 to 4 innings and he just looks great. I feel like he gets to the 5th, 6th, like I don't know if it's just trying to find pitches. I don't know if it's, you know, not being able to find the strike zone or people are seeing you for the third time, which they say that once you get the third time in the line, it's really hard to get out. But to watch him, I feel like he struggles to navigate pitches that third time through. Like, it's almost like he's overthinking it. Like, oh man, this is the third time I've seen them. I need to try to be this, that, that. Like you're making it harder than what it is, it feels like. So I'm not really concerned. He just needs to find a way to be able to navigate that without it being something where he struggles with. He needs to find a way to navigate it. So I can't say that I'm worried. I just hope that he finds a way. And part of that's maturity too, right? I mean, just learning how to do it and longevity and get as many outs as possible.
Yeah, I agree. I just think that I think it's too early to put him in the bullpen. Like, there's some people on the socials that are suggesting. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's still doing this and we're in August, sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're not even through the first month of the season yet. So yeah. Give it time. Tomorrow's interesting because I think when we've talked about this with Hunter a million times, and I know we have. Hunter against good teams besides the Brewers seems to kind of be when he like does his thing, right? That's when he like gives you the 6-inning game and the, you know, 9 strikeouts. I feel pretty good about tomorrow, but it's very fascinating that how much they're going to need him to last tomorrow because of today, right? And Nick Martinez yesterday threw 3 innings.
Yep.
So it's like, who's all going to be available tomorrow? It's going to be really interesting. So tomorrow they really need him to last. They really need him to give them innings. So that's going to be fascinating to me.
He needs to be good.
Course,
he needs to be good. Just because the fact that they've stretched their bullpen thin, he needs to be really good tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, no one's going to be mad if you lose to the Phillies because they're good, but it would be really nice if they would win tomorrow.
Yeah. I think for Hunter Green's psyche, it'd be good for them to win.
Yeah, dude.
I think he needs this game.
I agree. Yeah. Hopefully by like Tuesday or Wednesday this week, they get Fraley and India back. Obviously with they're the latest to get hit with the flu bug. I don't know what's going on in that right now, but, we would like for it to stop so guys can be available. Yeah, man, I think that this is going to be a really fascinating series. And then, of course, this weekend, they go to Texas and play the defending world champs. Did you see that clip of Chris Sale going against Corey Seager?
I did.
Oh, my gosh.
I did.
Yeah, that was crazy. Chris Sale hasn't looked like that in a long time, so I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that was tough.
Well, we got like 9 minutes. We're under time. You still got 9 minutes to finish the show?
Oh yeah.
All right. Let's go through real quick. All right. So I want to kind of touch around the division. My guy Jordan brings it up. Handled Texas last year because they swept them. I was at one of those games. It was the game when John Sadek shouted me out on television, and John's my guy forever for that reason.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. All right, dude. So we already made fun of the Pirates and the Cardinals, and if you want to do that for another few minutes, I'm fine with that.
I'm good with that.
But looking around the division, Milwaukee has now won 7 of the last 10. They've won 4 in a row. They're 14-6. And so far have been very good.
Yeah.
Does this last? Do you think this like keeps going?
Unfortunately, yeah.
I'm starting to believe that they just have one of those things. Like one of those things where there's always good. It's just no matter what.
Yeah, it's I agree with you on that. I think that they're just one of those things where they are just good. And it doesn't matter who's in their lineup, it doesn't matter who's pitching, it doesn't matter. Like they're just a solid. It's almost like the Miami Heat, right? Like they just have that culture of winning and they know what it takes to win and they've got their guys and I just think that that's who they are.
Yeah, I don't think Willy Adames is going to be having a 889 OPS all year by any means.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, you look at their rotation. I mean, today they beat the Cardinals 2-0, and they get a really solid outing from Colin Ray, who goes five innings of three of shutout baseball. Brock Hudson comes in, throws two innings. Brian Hudson, sorry. Brock Hudson is like a former actor. Sorry, guys. But also really good today. So they can just always pitch, and they're annoying. Mm-hmm. They're super annoying. The Cubs on the other end, 13-9, two games out of first right now. Not that that really matters. Right. I'm not as enthused by the Cubs. Kyle Hendricks has looked terrible, really bad. I know Jack, our good friend here, but if you look down their lineup, like Nico Hoerter's hitting well. Michael Bush obviously had that crazy run where he had like six games in a row where he had homers. But I'm not looking at the Cubs like super scared of them at this point. Bellinger, I think, looks more like the post-MVP years Bellinger. Dansby Swanson has not looked good at all.
Nope.
So and then their bullpen is like very rough, but I still think they're going to end with a winning record. I just don't think like when it comes to them, and I think this is like a Milwaukee Cincinnati kind of year for the division.
I agree with that. I would agree with that. I think that I don't think that they have a consistently good enough lineup to be where they are right now. I think that their bullpen will let them down. I don't think their lineup is great. It's decent, not great. So I think between those two things, their inner starting pitching isn't great. I mean, it's decent, not great.
Yeah,
so,
Shota's awesome, but
right, yeah. But besides that, I mean, I think that they've been very mediocre. That's the one I think of the three teams that are up top now. I think the Cubs are the ones that'll start to fall back a little bit because I just don't think that they can do it consistently with that lineup and those relievers.
I agree. The St. Louis side of things. Yeah, they've been really bad. I don't think they're good, but I don't think they'll be this bad all year. I mean, Goldschmidt looks awful at this point in the year, so I don't trust. But like Wilson Contreras looks great. I don't know where that came from. Sonny Gray was awesome today, and they just didn't help him out. It's like he was back in Cincinnati all over again. He has an incredible game, and no one scores runs for him. So
yeah.
It's like things don't change. I don't know, man. Like, I know people here like joking that they like about Michael Ciani from his time here. That guy started in center field for the Cardinals today. Like, yikes.
Yeah. You've got more faith in the Cardinals than I do, because where does it get better for them?
Goldschmidt's gonna get better, but
yeah. But I mean that's just him. Like where else in their lineup does it get better?
That's true. That's a great point.
You know what I mean? So like I just don't know if one guy can pull you up that much. Well, I mean, because Goldschmidt's an MVP caliber player, and I get that, and he's gonna be better. But will him being better make everybody else better?
Yeah, looking through this now. Okay, so Mason Wynn's got an 810 OPS so far this year, and I think he's pretty good. So I'm not going to sit here and like try to tear him down. But like Brendan Donovan is their leadoff hitter. I freaking say this, now watch all these guys are going to go crazy in the next couple weeks. Like Lars Nootbaar has been good. Arenado's got a nice batting average, but his OPS is below average.
Yeah.
I Nubar and Goldschmidt, they can get going. It's probably like their best bet, but, and their bullpen's good. Their bullpen's been really good so far this year, so I can't take that from them, but I'm with you. And let's just make fun of the Pirates because they're losers and they're a stupid organization. And all these people who were like, man, we're bringing all our guys up, we're going to be fine. Like, they're going to put it together and watch out. Like, yeah, you guys have a lot of talent. Congratulations. You'll trade it all in 5 years like you always do. Mm-hmm. Look at their team right now. All right. So Connor Joe is like good. I would just leave it at that. But Brian Reynolds has not been good yet this year. Cabrian Hayes has been okay. Jack Sawinski stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew McCutchen, Rowdy Tellez, Joey Bart.
Cruz.
Buddy, all these O'Neill Cruises are better, is better than Nelly De La Cruz people. Let's just look at this right now, okay? I had never heard of Jared Triolo until I just pulled up their box score from today. So that's a shame on me for sure. But this team is whatever like that run was. And I understand the Red Sox are awesome right now, but like they got to go play Milwaukee this week. They're not winning any of that. Like they're not, it's a 4-game set against the Brewers and they have them at home.
It won't matter.
No. And they have Paul Skeens and Paul Skeens is going to be awesome. I have no doubt about it, but he only plays every fifth day. Pirates fans, like let's relax here. So once again, Aroldis Chapman finds himself on a team that he's going to pitch to a cruddy team until the trade deadline, and then he'll get traded to somewhere and go on some team that's going to go on a playoff run. Yep. And I do have to say, because he's a Louisville kid, I am bummed that Henry Davis is there because I would really love to root for him. I just can't. Anything from that city with those colors, not happening.
Can't do it.
Yeah, can't do it. All right, guys. Well, I think with that being said, we're going to wrap up this week's edition of Late Night Reds. Really fun. Hopefully we're talking about a nice, fun week against the Phillies and the Rangers. This is a tough week. I mean, I know the Rangers aren't playing to the Rangers caliber yet, but
still tough.
Still a team that I'm nervous to play for sure. Let's kind of just go real quick. So obviously everything going around the riverfront. So check out Riverfront Red Show here on this feed. Red Leg Roundtable on Tuesday this week. Seth has a really fun episode there as well. Seth told us that he got a certain guest that's going to be coming on in a couple weeks that keep an eye out for. It's going to be a really, really great one to have. But make sure you're checking those guys out. Check out Welcome to the Jungle with Joe and Parker as they're getting ready for the NFL draft on Thursday. Had an awesome offensive breakdown that has me like praying that Brock Bauer drafts with the Bengals on Thursday. because they sold me. Everyone sold me. I'm in. So check that out as well. And then of course, NBA Friday, whenever we do a show, we moved that up last week because of the play-in. So myself, Sean, Parker, or, anyone that wants to fill in, hang out with us. So on behalf of Ben Brown, this is Tim Daniel. Everyone have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Go Reds.